May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 40. How blessed is the season at which we appear. Bow down sense and reason, faith only reign here. 'Tis heard by mere nature with coldness and scorn that God our Creator, an infant was born. Hymn number 40.
Thank you. Let us read from the Word of God. First, the 27th chapter in the book of the prophet Isaiah, and also in St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Perhaps this part of Isaiah is not so much read as a word of prophecy concerning Christ as other parts, but I believe we shall find here this is so. The book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 27. In that day the Lord, with his sore and great and strong sword, shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent. And he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. In that day sing ye unto the Lord a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Fury is not mine. Who would set the briars and thorns against me in battle? I would go through them. I would burn them together. Let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me. And he shall make peace with me. He shall cause them to come of Jacob, to take root, them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud, and fill the face of the world with fruit. Hath he smitten him? Has he smote those that smote him? Or is he slain according to the slaughter of them that are slain by him? In measure, when it shooteth forth, thou wilt debate with it. He stayeth his rough wind in the day of the east wind. By this therefore shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged, and this is all the fruit to take away his sin, when he maketh all the stones of the altar as chalk stones that are beaten in sunder. The groves and images shall not stand up. Yet the defence city shall be desolate, and the habitation forsaken, and left like a wilderness. There shall the calf feed, and there shall he lie down, and consume the branches thereof. When the boughs thereof are withered, they shall be broken off. The women come and set them on fire, for it is a people of no understanding. Therefore he that made them will not have mercy on them, and he that formed them will show them no favour. And it shall come to pass in that day, that the Lord shall beat off from the channels of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day, that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which are ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. Let us also read, friends, in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, reading the first 20 verses. Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one, into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. May the Lord bless his holy word to us each. May he help us in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, we venture to approach thee once more. O thou great God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we venture to approach thee, O God, our Father. We plead the name of Jesus Christ, thy dear, well-beloved Son. We have no other way of approach, no other way can we find access to thee, O God, who holy art. Oh, we are sinners. We are unworthy of the least of thy notice, Lord. Oh, we are come into thy house now on this Lord's Day morning, having to acknowledge we are sinners gathering here, gathered here around thy word. Oh, we do hope it is because what thou hast taught us, Lord, and how thou hast dealt with us, that we are come It may be, Lord, there are those come only out of custom, Lord. Oh, it may be there are those who have come because they've been brought up to come. And even older ones, some may become out of formality that this is how they were brought up. And they have continued. And because they may feel naturally it is the right thing to do on thy day. But Lord, oh, we pray that the great trumpet may be blown by a very poor one as I feel to be this day, that there might be in the services this day that needful alarm, that needful solemn stating and making known of the fact that we are all living fast hastening on toward a never-ending eternity, and we all must die and appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So we pray, Lord, that we might not be here just in a way of formality. If any are coming that way, deal with them this day, Lord. Oh, cause that that trumpet, that piercing sound of it might enter into them, Lord, might search them, might cause them to solemnly think and consider and know the solemn fact that they must die and appear before thee. And how will it be? Where shall I spend eternity? For we know millions are going to be cast away into hell. This is thy sovereign will, thy perfect right, a holy, holy, holy God. Oh, thou art just in all thy ways, and Lord, none can say unto thee, what doest thou? Oh, Lord, we would understand and be aware, Lord, how we appear, Lord, under thy sovereign eye. We are thy subjects, Lord, subjects of creation, born in sin, shaven in iniquity. We are living our lives, Lord, thou knowest all about it. Thou seest us through and through. And so we pray, Lord, we beg, Lord, that we might not be here today or prove to be having been here today at the end of the day. Oh, if any have come in unconcerned, may they not go away unconcerned. If any have come in neglectful, may they not go away neglectful. If any have come in, Lord, in a sleepy state, oh Lord, may they not go away in a sleepy state. And oh, if any have come in, Lord, oh, in a way of natural feeling of not needing to be in diligence or to even be in any way needing to say anything in testimony. Lord, thou knowest how dear deacon has prayed, that would make the dumb to speak. Oh, may they not go out dumb. Oh, Lord, make sinners speak. Oh, where thou hast blessed them, where thou hast favoured them, make them speak, make them testify, make them praise thee, Lord. This is our exercise, that all may be to thy glory, that all in our assembly might be for that purpose. Souls blessed, benefited, favoured. But Lord, the great height of purpose in it, that thou mightest be glorified, that a triune God might be worshipped, praised, honoured and glorified through our solemn assemblies, in our solemn assemblies, and from these assemblies there might be that in testimony in thy people living to thy praise, So, Lord, hear us for these important things. Thou knowest our weakness, Lord. Thou knowest our state, Lord. We're poor. Oh, we're insufficient. We are not able to do what we would. We've got many times that we have to sadly acknowledge our shortcomings. Oh, sins in us and all about us. But oh, we beg, Lord, as we are made to know this, we may be able by faith to look out and away from ourselves to thyself, Lord, to see in thee all what we need, to see in thee all an all-sufficient Saviour. Oh, how we sing of thee, Lord, all-sufficient is our Jesus. Though our sins are black as hell, from pollution he can release us, and from Satan's deepest cell. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, and oh, thou knowest how in that wonderful theme we fail to come so short in it, Lord. The theme of the hymn on the gospel trumpet. Oh, may it sound, may it be sounded for today. But oh, the sweetness of what we want to be considering today is in the hymn, thus Jesus came, the poor to bless and clothe them in his righteousness. Oh, that robe is spotless, full and free, and from the curse to set thee free. Oh, Lord, oh, how in that hymn there's that wonderful theme of the blood of Christ. Oh, the wonderful remedy, and like we read, oh, that thou dost bring in the church of God, for the people of God to know, oh, when thou dost bring it, the vineyard of red wine. Oh, Lord, we beg that thou wilt bring such favours here this day, that thy people may be blessed, that they may be fed, they may be blessed to know that sacred partaking of thy holy body and thy precious blood. Oh, to feed upon thee, Lord, to partake of thee. Oh, Lord, we pray, bless thy people. Oh, we are come, Lord, with a desire that thy dear people may be fed. Thou knowest all the things of their lives and pathways, all their sorrows, all their trials. Thou knowest all what is of the work of that awful Leviathan, that wicked serpent. Oh, the archenemy of souls. And now, Lord, we're troubled so much because of our old natures. Oh, Lord, we need thee to come and sanctify us today with a blessed sense of thy presence, Lord. Jesus in the midst. Come, Lord. Oh, may we know it like that hymn, the Lord Jesus came. And thou dost come, Lord. In that way thou explain that thou dost come to thy people in the wonderful work and power and operation of the Holy Spirit, and he shall not speak of himself, but he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. We pray for this, Lord. So, Lord, do come and favour souls here this day. Oh, Lord. Also, Lord, as we were reading, Lord, in those two portions, the people were going on in their lives. The shepherds were in the field. Lord, they were keeping watch over their flocks. Lord, they were carrying on with their normal lives. And Lord, oh, how it is with us. The people carry on with their normal lives. Lord, there is one great important matter every one of us needs to be brought to know and be favoured in. the matter of our soul's salvation. Oh Lord, how it was in the day of the prophet, there was that looking forward in prophecy, that great day, the great trumpet shall be blown. And Lord, how important today as we are living our lives, for people to come to the house of God and the great trumpet is blown. Oh Lord, we tremble to acknowledge this, to pray for this, because we feel so poor. We feel so insufficient. But oh, we beg that whatever note is needed of the blessed trumpet of the gospel, it may be sounded and it may enter some soul, some precious souls today. Oh Lord, thou knowest, it is a piercing trumpet. And oh Lord, we do pray it may so enter the sound of it, and whatever note is needed. Lord, bless souls, bless thy people. Oh, we pray especially thou wilt quicken dead sinners into life. Thou knowest those we are concerned for in our families and our friends in theirs, and Lord, so many we think of. Lord, thou knowest our burden for souls, how we carry it day by day, how we cast precious souls upon thee day by day. Lord, we pray, hear our cries, and oh, in mercy appear. Oh, cause that those that are unconcerned might have a view, a solemn view, given them of thee, of themselves, and also a solemn view of thyself. Show them, Lord, in this way, what they are and where they are, before and under thy all-seeing eye, a holy, holy, holy God, convicted, convinced as sinners. Oh, bring them to know it, Lord. And oh, may they then, in that solemn place of being convicted and convinced, beg for mercy and find thee in thy time, seeking thee and finding thee, Lord, as our Lord and Saviour. So work, Lord, convince of sin, then lead to Jesus' blood, and to their wandering view reveal the secret love of God. Do work, Lord, work in the dear young people here, work in older ones that may have gone on unconcerned for many years. Lord, we are aware, Lord, and we would be careful not to wrongly speak, to assume that older friends are in the way of life. They may not be. Thou art the only judge, the judge of all the earth. We are not the judge. But Lord, thou knowest what's needed. If there are any gone on in their lives, just in the way of form of religion, oh, may they be solemnly awakened by the piercing sound of the gospel trumpet. Lord, oh, may they be awakened. And Lord, oh, we pray that the young souls that maybe have grown up and know the things of behaviour and conduct according to good upbringing, but Lord, not to be left in that, to go on unconcerned, thinking they are all right. Make them know they're in great need to plead for mercy, convict and convince of sin. This will make them know, make them need the Saviour. Sinners can say, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. So at this season, Lord, we beg we may be humbly favoured, Lord, to consider thee, thy holy birth, thy perfect sinless birth. Oh, we think of thee come veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. May we Know it blessedly, Emmanuel, God with us. May we feel it, know it at this season. And so help us to come like those wise men did, and fall down before thee and worship thee. To come, Lord, just as we are, without one plea. To come before thee, Lord, to fall down before thee, the Son of God. So help us this day, we beg. We pray for all our friends, Lord. We especially remember those in sorrow. Thou knowest, Lord, the number of funerals we've attended of late and friends taken. Oh, we have that sweet hope of those we've attended taken home to glory. But we are left below, and the friends, the loved ones, Lord, we mourn. Oh, we pray, comfort all that mourn. Comfort them at this time, Lord, we beg. And all those in affliction, Lord, we remember. Grant that grace, that sanctifying mercy of thy favour, Lord, they might know that that shall cause them to think of thee, to meditate upon thee, that thy sufferings and thy path was so much rougher and darker than ours. Be with them, bless them, heal and raise up, Lord. I think of a friend who we come to know, of the people at Colnbrook, Lord. He's had the major heart operation on Friday. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, a week Friday. We thank thee, Lord, thou art healing him, and thou hast enabled him to speak of things of thy wonderful favour, of thy presence with him. Oh, Lord, bless and favour him. Not much known he cannot be to any of the friends, but he is known to us. O Lord, and the friends there at Combrum. Lord, we pray, so be with that dear friend. And as we think of others, Lord, we pray for them each and all, that thy continued recovery mercies may be their favour to know, and sanctifying mercies. Lord, what a year it's been. Thinking of these dear friends and those that have been taken home to glory. And, O Lord, also the favours we have proved in the past year. Oh, we want to thank thee, Lord. We want to praise thee for the wonderful favour of thy appearing in blessing souls, signs following the preaching of the word, thy constraining love upon some, that has enabled them to take up their cross and follow thee in thy ways. Oh, we pray that others may be favoured in such ways. We beg all these things, also remembering our country, what a sad year it's been, Lord. But thou art still looking in mercy. We're not under thy strictest judgments as some lands have been. But oh, we stand amazed at this, Lord. We beg thee still in wrath, remember mercy. Oh, deal with our rulers. Oh, cause men to tremble at thy voice, Lord. And that, Lord, we might see in the coming year, if it could please thee, more moderate things done, not so many outlandish changes made. Oh, how awful. And if it could please thee, Lord, thou would cause those that are in high places to think more carefully, and to remember the word of God. Oh, Lord, thou knowest it has been such a sad thing, what has taken place regarding the law on marriage. We are so troubled at it, Lord. Keep it away from our chapels, Lord, that most abominable way. Keep us, Lord, in the way that thou hast instituted, Lord. We beg all these things, begging the pardon of our every sin, and begging help now. Lord, help me. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
418, to our Redeemer's glorious name, awake the sacred song. O may his love, immortal flame, tune every heart and tongue. Hymn 418.
Thank you.
As the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to that chapter we read in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 27th chapter and the last verse, namely the first part of the last verse, the verse 13. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown. We know there are many parts of the word which speak of the blowing of the trumpet. There are those solemn occasions, the solemn feasts when the trumpet was blown, especially the wonderful time of Jubilee, the Jubilee trumpet. But I believe he had prophesied in this chapter is the gospel trumpet. The trumpet that sounds, as we sing in another place, with an inviting voice, the gospel trumpet. But the gospel trumpet will, I believe, if I know this aright, will not just have the inviting voice, it will have also the sound of alarm in it. It will have also the solemn piercing sounds of the truth which must be known by everyone who is, according to God's will, brought to be able to say, as desired in the last lines of the hymn we've just sung, may every heart with rapture say, the Saviour died for me. That's not universal, friends. That is everyone whom God loves, everyone who he has chosen ere time began, who he has set his electing love upon, and in time God begins to work in them, and he does his work in them, and he brings them into their favour by granting them that precious, vital, living faith so that they can believe, and they are able then, as blessed and favoured, to say that the Lord died for me. He came to save me. And friends, so as this is the main exercise one carries, what we've sung in the hymn is exactly speaking and portraying one's exercise of what we've come before you with today. It was yesterday morning at breakfast time that we were led to this part of the Word of God, and also reading, as we did also read, as we have this morning with you, that part of the chapter in Luke. This is prophecy, friends, concerning the coming of the Messiah. We went to, with in our mind, to that hymn, verse of the hymn we quoted in prayer, which is upon the blowing of the gospel trumpet. And you find there at the head of that hymn, it's in the 900s, you find there the reference to this very verse. This is how we were led yesterday morning. And how through the hours intervening and in the night we've been in this, and so we bring it to you today for this morning service. And it shall come to pass in that day, the gospel day, the day in which we are living, the great trumpet shall be blown. Now, it's blown here at Swaversey, I know it is. Sometimes we come as hearers and we know it's blown. I don't want to boast of my blowing it. I feel to fail so much, friends. But God has given us, even in this year, some very sweet witnesses and proofs that he has been using, even a poor one as me, in preaching the gospel. But may he have all the glory. Oh, to die, friends, we are concerned that this great trumpet may be blown, and it will be all about sinners needing to be brought to know and be assured of their interest in a precious Christ and what he has done in coming into this world and living that perfect life he alone lived, and going to the cross at Calvary, there to suffer, bleed and die in his people's room, place and stead. Now what I must say, in blowing this trumpet today, I must bring the warnings. You see, we're all sinners. You and every one of us and me, we're sinners. We're born in sin. We're shapen in iniquity. And if we go on in that state we're born in, we will be lost forever and have to suffer the punishment for our sins in a never-ending hell. Oh, that place where it is stated, the worm dieth not. It's an awful place. It is that place of the damned where the fire burns forever. Think of the pain of fire. Think of the pain of burning. This is what is set forth in the Word of God. The place of continual, eternal. And the word eternal means forever and ever. Eternal torment. Now, we need to sound this alarm. I sound it before you, friends. If we are left to go on, and some of you may be, and I don't judge you, but you may be living and in a profession of a religion which is dead, a dead form of religion. That's where the Pharisees were in the days of the Lord walking this earth. They were very strict. They were very careful. They were very diligent to live according to the law of God as much as they could, and they were carrying the confidence that they were going on in this, and they were God's people, they thought. But you know, they were out of the secret. They hadn't got a real religion. And the Lord makes clear this when he speaks to them. And when he speaks of them, they thought they were righteous and despised others. Oh, they were in such a solemn place, weren't they? In a dead religion, a dead profession of religion. And when they come to die, if they died in that state, be assured of this, they went to hell. They're in hell now, suffering forever there. The Lord in his ministry, he also brings it like this. He speaks of those that built their house upon the sand. And we've known, we've seen in the papers recently how the houses built on the sand on the east coast have been undermined and fallen, and great has been the fall. And the people have lost everything in that way. Think of that picture. Oh, if you're building your house upon sand, you know it's going to fall. You're going to be lost at last. You're going to come to the end of your lives and there'll be nothing left. Nothing to die upon. We want a religion, friends, which is good enough, wonderfully good enough to live upon, to live by and to die by. Friends, I must sound the alarm. It won't avail at last if you're living just as you've been brought up and thinking you're doing the right thing and living a careful life, an honest life, and living a life which you may think is pleasing to God, but you can't see God's view of it. He sees the heart. He discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. And if you try to live a careful life and are very careful not to do any wrong and so on and keep the Lord's day outwardly, you've still got heart sins. You've got sins inside you. Even if you don't commit any outward sins, you're a sinner in heart. And you're under original sin. And you're under actual transgression in heart sins. Wicked thoughts. Whatever they are, the lust of the flesh. Even one of these is enough to cause you to warrant eternal punishment for it forever. How many we commit. How many God sees that we commit. This is the trumpet. The trumpet of the Lord, the gospel trumpet. You say, is this the gospel? It is the gospel, because the gospel is good news for bad, guilty, hell-deserving sinners. The gospel is good news indeed for sinners. Sinners can say, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. And at that day, it shall come to pass in that day, the great trumpet shall be blown. And oh, it's, as I said, blown here. But how many times has it been blown here? And is there a soul? Is there one of you or more? You consider personally how you are. You know it's been blown here a lot of times. But has it had an effect upon you? Has it searched you? Has the trumpet, and I intimated, I think, in prayer, I'm not musical, I wish I was. Neglected this in my early days. My mother wanted me to learn music, but we didn't want to, and wanted to be more thinking about the things on the farm and the market garden, and we didn't have time. We were helping Dad and didn't have time for other things. That's how we were. But I do wish I could play and know music, but I don't. But I do know this, and I hear and I love the sound of music. If it's good music, especially the hymns we sing and the tunes. But you see, I think of the trumpet. If I know rightly, it is a most piercing sounding instrument, isn't it? And you see, that's what the gospel trumpet must be. It must be a piercing sound. A sound which will enter the heart. A sound which will, as God has purposed it in his will enter into a soul, into a person. Will cut their conscience. Cut into their conscience. When we speak, as we, I hope, have done faithfully in the ways we have already. If the trumpet is sounding with a certain sound, a piercing sound, by the work and working of the Holy Spirit, that will enter into a heart, a person, and that will make them feel, in those first things of vital experience, that will make you feel pain, the pain. The feeling of pain, of the guilt, of your sin, or before a holy God. Yes, it will. It will. Does any other those of you here know it? You do know it, some of you. And oh, it's this piercing of the heart by God. The truth is the soul that sinneth. It shall die. But the truth also considered upon that is, that doesn't mean annihilation. That doesn't mean the end. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. It's an eternal dying. It's not an eternal annihilation. It's an eternal suffering. It's an eternal punishment. That is, if the wonderful grace of God does not before death prevent, oh, what we hope we shall be able to preach to you is there's this wonderful way of salvation, like the last two lines of the hymn. Oh, that the Saviour came, and he came to suffer, bleed, and die. How we've sung about it in those verses. So wonderfully clear, the verses we've sung. You know, the theme of it, the dear Redeemer. Oh, and to his glorious name, to the praise of his glorious name. But oh, he left his radiant throne on high, left the bright realms of bliss, and came to earth to bleed and die. Was ever love like this? Dear Lord, while we adore and pay our humble thanks to thee, may every heart with rapture say, the Saviour bled for me. But we must also bring upon that and with that a piercing sound. You don't want to be left to presume, friends. You don't want to presume that he died for you. You want to know that he died for you. You, if you are being exercised by the Spirit, you will want to know that he died for you. Is this so? Is this the great important matter with you then? Oh, to know my Jesus crucified. You know, we're going about our daily lives like the shepherds were, aren't we? We know we have a dear friend here who is a shepherd. We think of this in this way. But all the matters of your daily lives, they're important to you. Like it was important to those shepherds. You know, when they were keeping watch over their flock by night. We know that was a wild area. Wilderness area, much of it perhaps. And there were those wolves, those that would come, catch the sheep. See how, when that glorious time of the appearing of God came, the angels coming from heaven, oh, bringing those tidings of great joy. Oh, they then, this was much more important than keeping watch over the flocks, wasn't it? How is this with you and with me? Is this matter of your soul's salvation more important than anything else? They left their flocks there, believing and expect the Lord would keep them safe. They must go and see this great sight. They must go to this scene, this wonderful scene of the Lord here born. Born by birth mysterious. Born separate from sinners. Oh, the Son of God come. John in his epistle, we were preaching from it at Ripley on Thursday. John in his epistle, the fifth chapter, the first epistle, he says, and we know that the Son of God is come. And he has given us an understanding. We have read in the context here that these people, they hadn't got understanding. And this is the solemn thing, you see. There are many that haven't got understanding. May each one of you and me examine ourselves. Do we have this understanding? John says, the Son, we know that the Son of God is come, and he's given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is what each one of you need. You need to know this, and it's an urgent matter. It's a more important matter than anything else in your lives, friends. Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union with the church's living head? You know how that hymn, I think it's that hymn finishes, but if still a total stranger. Think of this, going on living your life, still a total stranger to his precious name and blood. Thou art on the brink of danger. Canst thou face a holy God? Think and tremble. Death is now upon the road. That's an awful way to be living, isn't it? Oh, some may be living like that, even though they outwardly, naturally, in a way of a formality, profess to be Christians. What a solemn thing to be professing to be a Christian, and actually, in the reality of it, to still be a total stranger to his precious name and blood. Oh, the dear apostle has some wonderful words to write in one of his epistles. He says, "Ye are now no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of faith." Oh, but look how they were built. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. It's this one man, this one name, none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. At the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, that's everyone that shall be saved shall bow before him, shall fall before him and Lord his love name, ascribing the glory to God and the Lamb. So we blow the trumpet, friends. Now, if you are really, truly brought by God to be concerned about your never dying soul, and the question, the vital question of urgent importance, where shall I spend eternity? And the prayer that will well up out of your concerned heart is this, your new heart. It will be, prepare me. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. And oh, you will, if you are being exercised by the Lord, if he's got a purpose of love and mercy to you, you will want to go and see this great sight by faith. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem. Oh, may it be so this day, friends. May we be favoured out of royal concern and need to by faith go unto Bethlehem. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem. How can we? By faith. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this great sight, the sacred birth coming into this world of a precious Christ, the Son of God. Oh, to go there by faith. Let us now go. May it be our desire to go to that wonderful scene there, to see the babe. So they saw Mary and the babe lying in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. Oh, I think of him. Oh, when Mary held him up. Oh, his shoulders held up heaven and earth. When Mary held up him, how is this so? This world will only continue, friends, until every elect vessel of mercy is born of the Spirit and taught and brought in and prepared for glory. That's what the world is continuing for, in the first purpose of God for it. And oh, his shoulders held up heaven and earth. That's the secret that God's people know. When Mary held up him, it is. How is it with you and me? Is the Lord precious? Is the Son of God precious to you? Is he the one thing needful? Is it given to you in that dear babe of Bethlehem I see? My God contracted to a span for me. Is this how you see him? Is this how you are favoured if you are so drawn and led and blessed to go by faith to Bethlehem? Is this what you see? See this dear man, this dear babe. Oh, this dear babe is true Almighty God. He is. He is. Oh, he's God in flesh. In the word declared to be the Son of God with power. Oh, the blessed gift of the Father. How the Father gave his dear Son. In that acknowledgement of John in his first epistle in the 5th chapter there that we've quoted. Oh, there is that wonderful acknowledgement of the Father. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. That's to be brought by grace into the favoured place of God's revealing and giving us an understanding. Notice, it's a singular thing, an understanding, that's brought into the ways of grace and the favour of grace and the light of the gospel shining, and the favour of knowing, having that knowledge of the Holy, which is understanding, has given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, that's the Father, who gave his dear Son. We are in him that is true, that is the Son of God, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Friends, we blow the trumpet. And how does it affect you? How do you feel now? After these words the door ministers brought, but they're very important, friends. Very important, vital things these are. That you personally and I may be prepared for that great day. One of the verses I often feel led to think of and ponder and quote, Oh, prepare my soul for that great day. Wash me in the Saviour's blood. Take my sins away. When the Lord spoke of the house built upon the sand, that was so awful, wasn't it? Oh, that destruction must come, and that lost state of everything. But oh, there was that favour that they that build their house upon the rock, he that built his house upon the rock, and the wind blew and the floods came and beat upon that house and it stood, for it's founded upon a rock. That's our only hope, friend. Oh, can you say my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. So at this season, and as I was saying, we go in about all our things, but what's most important? What's most important at this season? Not all the tinsel and the things of, I feel that, and I feel it every year now, that everything's got out of all proportion. And we tend to be so taken up with all these things of the year, the seasonal things. Oh, how much do we think of Christ? It really searches me. It really searches me deeply. Oh, I do want to think of him. I think of a dear minister I much loved, and I might have told you before, but it will bear repeating. The dear, our dear late friend, the dear Lord's servant, Mr. Buck. And he had a household which he had come to be in that he married in unregeneracy, and his wife was a Catholic, and there were things that she wanted in the home and so on, and the time of festivities and relations coming, and the dear man, and Christmas Day, he said, I was so troubled. He said, I had to go out for a walk. He said, I got a little away from my home. And he said, the Lord came and broke in, and I felt his presence. And he said, I walked and then I skipped and I ran up and down those hills around that part where he lived in a London north suburb of London. He said, I got my best beloved. I didn't want to go back to the house. I know how he felt. You know, we do want to know this blessed Jesus, this blessed Son of God, the dear babe in Bethlehem, and oh, thinking of all what he had had before him, how he had come, and he came so willingly, the gift of the Father, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift, and he come to suffer, bleed and die. He come to take the dying traitor's place and suffer in his stead. For man, O miracle of grace, for man the Saviour bled. Do you know him as your Saviour? Do you want to know him as your Saviour? Do you want to know him as that one, your Redeemer? We've been singing of him, the dear Redeemer. Oh, he had to shed his blood. He had to pay the price. He had to pay that great price for sin, the price his own heart's blood. Oh, the way of God of pardon was by the shedding of blood. It was set forth in type and shadow under the ceremonial law that without the shedding of blood is no remission. And we know it was wonderfully set forth at the Passover night. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You know, the Lord had to come to shed his blood. And of course, that meant he must enter into deep sufferings, sufferings of his holy body, but even more, friends, sufferings of his holy soul. How he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that is, if we have the favour of faith to believe it. This is what we will worship God for. This is what we want to worship God for today, and we want to be in the true favour of it, the reality of it, the possession of this favour. To know he came for me. To know, and we believe it. You know, the great favour of this gospel trumpet, of hearing it, and it being used of God by the Spirit to pierce our hearts and enter and affect us. If the trumpet has had a solemn effect in the way of conviction and sounding alarm, then how blessed will be the effect. It will still be piercing. It will be in this way you feel so deeply. So deeply it will be felt. Sorrow will be felt. Oh, the humbling and the sanctifying of a soul is as they are blessed to believe in Christ. God giving them the precious grace of faith in exercising them to enable to believe. Not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say for me, oh, this great trumpet shall be blown. It's a great trumpet because it, for the child of God, it covers all. It has all in it, everything in it for a sinner who is in great need, who is deep in debt, a sinner who is in great strait of condemnation, who is in the dungeon of condemnation, waiting the eternal punishment deal. Oh, the gospel it is good news of salvation through Jesus the Lamb. It is that the Father shall be blessed to see each one and be satisfied that they are saved in Christ. Paul deals with it in writing, in his epistle to the Ephesians. In that first chapter, he acknowledges it, made, accepted in the Beloved. This is what you need and I need, to know that by and through this great favour of Christ coming and living his life, that perfect life, to fulfil the law of God, and suffering at Calvary, beginning at Gethsemane and Calvary, suffering in his people's room, place and stead, shedding his holy blood. Oh, those that saw it, his holy blood running from hands and feet and side. Friends, as we think of it, there are some most solemn scenes today. We hear of them, we read of day by day almost. These solemn themes, scenes, terrible things are done. Oh, they are awful scenes are witnessed. But oh, friends, if you by faith see by faith that scene of matchless grace, Jesus in the sinner's place, and the blessed to believe as God gives you faith to believe it was for you. to see him suffering, hear him crying. Oh, hear him in those cries on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is what he come for, friends. This is what he was born for. This is what he come for. He must go. We read of it early in his walk here with his disciples. In his early part of his ministry here, he says to his disciples, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? You see, he must go. He must go to Calvary. He must suffer there on the cross and shed his holy blood to make atonement for his people's sins. Oh, this is the wonderful gospel of the grace of God. There's no other way of salvation. It must be that a soul is brought, if they are loved of God, they must be brought to know and taste redeeming love. Is this what you're after? Is this what you're seeking for? To know and taste redeeming love. Christmas time will be a very important time in remembering his holy birth, because you will not just stop in thinking of the Lord there at Bethlehem. You'll be going on considering and following, as God gives you faith, his life, and how he went about doing good, how he lived that perfect life, how he never, never, never sinned. He was holy, spotless, separate from sinners. This is how it is acknowledged of him. He kept the whole law and made it honourable on his people's behalf. This is the gospel. Oh, that Christ, he has kept the whole law, and he's brought in everlasting righteousness for the church. This is our only hope, friends, to know it in God's wonderful way of salvation by divine substitution. Oh, how we think of it. God knew how wicked man had been, and knew that God must punish sin, and out of pity Jesus said, oh, bear the punishment instead. This was what the dear babe at Bethlehem was born for, in the will of God. And this was given him as soon as he grew, and as he even said to his mother in those early days here on earth, he said, wist ye not, I must be about my Father's business. I think it was when he was 12 years old, wasn't it? That's what he said to his mother and father. Wist ye not? Joseph was naturally viewed as his father, but he was not actually his father, was he? But you see how much is acknowledged, particularly regarding Mary, is what Mary witnessed, and how she pondered these things in her heart, how she did. And oh, what wonderful it was that all these things were recorded, and thus a child of God, exercised by the Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, will be concerned to read of and follow and consider the Lord in all his steps, his steps here below, his walk on earth. And I especially think of it in those terms. It's so wonderful to me, I believe it is to all God's people, that the Son of God set his face as a flint toward Jerusalem. Going there, he must go there to suffer, bleed and die in his people's room, place and stead. Now friends, is this what your religion and profession depends upon? It's not your chapel going. It's not your careful living and your honest living, as much as you try to be that. It's not your devotion in the letter of it, of diligently reading the Word of God daily and regularly. They are good things, important things. We should be in that way living in our profession, but not depending upon it. What we must depend upon is thy whole dependence on me fixed, God says. That's a word applicable to what God states and makes known in his word. Venture to be naught, let our worthless schemes so with his to mix. We can't do anything, friends, to save ourselves. Oh, but the thing we will be brought to do by God's grace is to earnestly seek him and beg him and seek to know him. Now, are you, by the grace of God, made to be an earnest seeker in your need? Is your need great need? And are you in earnest in seeking that you might find a precious Christ? You might be brought to know him. Be able to say, like the apostle, you mustn't dismiss it and say, well, that was the great apostle Paul's testimony. You need it as well, and I need it. The apostle Paul, writing to the Galatians, he brings forth a most wonderful, complete testimony. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Christ liveth in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what each one of us need to be in diligence, to be favoured to know and be able to testify. And you know, if there are some of you here who you say, I hope I do know it, and if you're one who can say, I hope I do know this, and you haven't testified it, then you are in disobedience. And that's something that the gospel trumpet should make you aware of. May the Lord so work and accomplish his will, and all may be to his praise. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £605, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pack will preach on Friday evening and Dr. Sadler next Lord's Day, and he hopes to address the Sunday School in the afternoon. Our friends at Fenstanton hope to hold their Christmas morning service at 10 o'clock, and on Saturday there will be the meeting of the Free Grace Evangelistic Association at the primary school at 2:30. Let us close with hymn 570. The Lord on high his love proclaims, and make his goodness known to men deserving endless pains. He gave his only Son. Hymn 570.
Dear Lord, we would specially pray for thy keeping at this season of the year. Oh, thou knowest the families, the dear peoples, the wider family circles that come together. And oh Lord, we do know there is much that is, Lord, a trouble to us, but we pray we may have family love. But oh, above this, we may have the wonderful favour of the love of Christ. Bless souls. May this be first. So help us to worship thee. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.